This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I'm sick with this. I'm sick with it. Since you wasn't a part of the judgment, my own sweet time didn't change what I felt. I didn't recognize simple things anymore. I don't want to be defeated. I don't want to be defeated.
Hello, my sinners. It's been a couple weeks, but we are back. I am back with a brand new episode of the podcast, of the show, Lead Singer Syndrome. So nice to have you. I am recording this from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. We have a day off, and it's funny how much a week can do for just everything, you know. Your psyche, your health, because a week ago we had a lovely day off, and I was having a great time just hanging out, you know, doing what you do on a day off on tour, and then all of a sudden, like, something hit me. It was like it was crazy. I was like, whoa, something's wrong. Like, something is not right, and was like immediately like, didn't want to move, like was falling asleep where I was sitting, like I have to go to bed. And it was crazy. And I think I had the flu. You know, to be honest, like when you're traveling and you're doing what I do and what lead singers do, this show's about, it's not easy to keep your health, all, you know, 100% all the time. And I get sick pretty often. I mean, once a tour is maybe a little bit of overestimation, but it's something like that. And but I never got sick like this. It was like, I'm lucky we had the day off, because the next 24 hours was horrible. And luckily I was able to get through the first show and a few of the other ones, but you know, it was time to record this kind of intro and do, you know, edit the podcast and everything, and I was just in no way, shape or form able to do that. So thank you for understanding that we had to take last week off, but here we are, and I'm feeling much, much better. Very happy to say that I got through all those shows. I mean, you know, Silverstein, we've never canceled before. It has to be like you can't even get up there. So luckily I got through the shows and I did okay. But thank you very much for your understanding in that we had to switch some things around, but here I am now, and we got a great episode. I speak with Anthony DiMario of Capstan, a great new band, but a guy that's been slugging it out for years in various bands, whether we're talking about Detroit, whether we're talking about Florida. They've just been all over the place, and it is so awesome to see an amazing band putting out great music, getting some recognition. Very, very excited for this week's episode. Before we jump into that, well, lots of things to discuss. The first one being the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. Now, I bring this up especially this week because I know someone listening to this was really mad about last week. They were so pissed. They were like, what do you mean I have to wait a whole week to hear the podcast? Shane delivers them like clockwork, and it's true. However, these things do happen, but we do have the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club option, in which you get lots of bonus episodes, bonus content, interaction with other fans of the show, lots of stuff that you can do when you're waiting for that next episode. And it really is good value too. And not only is it great value, but that money that you spend, your hard-earned money, that goes directly to the show, helping us be able to do this for free every week. So without the almost 300 people now in the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club that pledge every single month. Without you guys, we would not be able to keep this thing going, growing all the great guests. We got some great ones coming up. It really does mean a lot. So if you could afford, like I said, as little as $6 a month, that's what gets you in to all the awesome extra stuff and, of course, helping me out, head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And that's it, really. Check it out. We're going to be revamping the merch store really soon. We're going to have some really nice new items. We got Sinnerfest 2.0 booked. Norfolk, Virginia, baby. We're going to have a great party there. I will be in attendance. Hopefully, I can bust out a little bit of a private acoustic set for the people. And it'll just be a good time, a good party. So all the stuff we do as a part of the All Access Club. So check it out. Again, the link, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. And my band Silverstein, we are on tour, like I mentioned. We've got just a few more dates of this really, really great tour we've been doing, and it's been selling so well. Right now, we're in Western Canada, heading from Saskatchewan all the way out to Vancouver. So if you're in Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, then we go down to Seattle, Portland, Northern California. I think it's Berkeley we're playing. And then we finish off in Vegas with a little stint in San Diego, California. Beautiful places. If you are in any of those cities or can get to them and you miss the tour, it's really worth it to check this one out. We're playing our entire first record from start to finish. We've got great support bands in Hawthorne Heights, As Cities Burn, and of course, Capstan. And it is awesome. So check it out. Again, you can get your tickets at whenbrokeniseasilyfixed.com or silversteinmusic.com. Whatever's easier, just, you know, hit up the Google. It'll have you. Also a reminder, you can always get in touch. You can always email me. And 2019, like I said 2 weeks ago, is the year of the hate line. Now, I had a few hate line messages. I gotta say, they were kind of weak. But the hate line is open for you to give me a ring on the telephone and leave me a message of hate. Let me have it, okay? You got to blast me for being sick last week and not being able to get this podcast out. Like, my life is that difficult, okay? Give it to me. 1-657-666-HATE is the phone number. I know you probably don't use that phone app all that much anymore, but it's right there. You hit a button, and then you can just say whatever you want to say to me. I will be rolling out clips soon, I hope. But again, the number, 1-657-666-HATE. Call up that hate line. Well, I don't know. Let's just get into it, hey? Why not? With my conversation with Anthony DiMario of Capstan. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was wrong. This is how we sound check. All right, cool. Dude, how are you, man?
Dude, I'm doing great.
I'm here with Anthony. It's me, DiMario. Sorry, I had to do it. Anthony DiMario. It's a great name. Sounds Italian. Are you Italian?
Yes, I'm Italian.
Fully Italian?
No, I got some Polish in me, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. My mom's side, Zabinski, was her last name.
There you go. Nice, yep. Nice, nice. So I know. The band Capstan, you know, which you're the front man for, is from Florida.
Yes.
But you're not from Florida.
No, I was born and raised in Downriver, Michigan.
Downriver, so, Michigan, yep. Yes. Which I know pretty well, actually, because I used to date a girl that lived on Gros Isle.
Right.
Which, okay, a lot of, even Michiganders, some don't even know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
But Downriver, you know.
Yep, high school. We'd play their high school sometimes and... Yeah.
So you played sports, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, what sports did you play in high school?
I played basketball for most of, like, all the junior varsity, and then I quit to play in bands after that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that, and then, like, golf, tennis, And I was I'm an avid bowler too, but I never played for school.
Look
I just like bowling.
So. Sporty man, I like this. Dude, I fucking love bowling. We had the bowling alley. It's weird because we're talking in New Jersey.
Right.
And just on the last leg of this tour, we played at the bowling alley. Just it can't be too far from here.
Right, Asbury.
And I didn't know you were such a bowling ripper. We should have had a little tournament.
Yes, definitely. I didn't have my baller shoes, so I'd have been handicapped right there. But.
Come on. This guy needs the... When you need all that stuff, I feel like... I don't know.
I mean, I grew up... I started bowling when I was 5. My dad, grandpa were into it, so... I mean, it just, like, the balls are different, you know? They got the house balls don't have the weight in it, so it doesn't hook like the normal ones, and that's kind of, I grew up being used to that.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah.
That's how it works, okay. Because I always wondered how those guys on TV can curve the ball so easily.
Yep, it's weighted.
And I never, I can kind of curve the ball, but... So I got to get my own ball is what you're saying.
Yeah, you should.
And maybe not drink like 5 or 6 beers
while
I'm playing.
Oh, you can still
playing.
Do that. Okay. Yeah, okay. I do that.
Because that's, there's a sweet spot too. Like the first game's never that good. Then you have 1 or 2. That's where I'm at my best bowling.
Right, and then it starts
that,
to go down.
Yeah, then the wheels fall off. Absolutely. So talk to me about your upbringing, I guess, and you know, this transition from that somehow you found your way in the Sunshine State.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was in a bunch of bands. I grew up in Downriver, Michigan, and I played sports throughout high school, and I met some people, and my cousin especially started getting me into punk music. So I started going to Warped Tour with him. I can't really remember the year. I was probably like 15 years old, and he started taking me to go. We'd go see the Casualties, the Suicide Machines, and, you know, it was super heavy punk. And one day he had like a mixtape, and I found the Starting Line, actually. I forget the name of the song, but it was off their first like EP or whatever, and it got me into a pop punk phase. So I started playing music with some guys in Michigan, like pop punk band. I was a drummer, actually, and we played for a long time. And then one day I decided, like, hey, this isn't working out. I need to go to school. So I decided to move to Florida to go to Full Sail.
Oh, okay.
And I met Harry down there.
Right.
So that's kind of how Capstan started, was we started as a recording project. Harry
right,
and
it's interesting because Boz, your guitar player, is also from Michigan.
Yes.
Did you know him in Michigan?
I did not, but he grew up listening to my bands that I played the drums for in Michigan. And
crazy.
I did meet him at a show.
Wow.
So, like, but I didn't, like, know him. And I actually lived around the block from his cousin in the same subdivision.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. So, yeah, it seems like, you know, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 29. I'll be 30 this year.
So, for, you know, people know Capstan as a new band.
Yep.
But, you know, it's not often that bands come out and you have a, member 29. I guess you're the oldest in the band?
Yes.
You know, but still, that's kind of a rarity, you know, for you guys to be basically this DIY, you know, band until recently. Congrats on the Fearless Records signing.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, yeah, it's kind of crazy, I guess, you know, that at this, you know, time in your life, you're finally getting into, like, full-time touring and all that stuff.
Right, yeah.
How's that transitioning now? Because you're not a 20-year-old anymore.
No, I've, you know, hurt my ankle a few times. Like, yeah, no,
come
I'm
on.
Just kidding. No, it's great, honestly. We just upgraded our rig, so new van, new trailer. And what we had before was so bad that, like, we forgot about all the little perks that we get with this one. So it's just like a brand-new Spectrum on the road. And that's all we want to do, man. We love being on the road. So.
That's terrific to hear, you know, because sometimes it's tough, you know, for people that aren't used to it. I think the younger you do it, maybe the easier it is, because when you're an adult, and I know you know, you post, you know, pictures of your significant other.
Right.
You know, and it seems like you're in a serious relationship and stuff.
Yeah.
So you're accustomed to that. And now it's like, okay, baby, well, we signed this record deal and I'm like going to be gone for like between 6 and 9 months, like this year, you know, probably.
It's going to get harder before it gets easier, that's for sure. But she's super supportive, and she understands what we're trying to do. So it's she's been awesome.
Yeah, and I guess, like, I mean, I don't know if any of your other bands, did any of your bands do much touring?
We did a little bit in Michigan, but not too
nothing
much.
Nothing full-time.
Yeah, nothing like this, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of cool, though. Like, was there ever a point where... you kind of just, I don't know, looked at your, I mean, age is nothing but a number, and I don't, you know, think it's that important, and I want to harp on it, but was there a time when you're like, fuck, I'm like 27 years old.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
in my late 20s. Like, I'm not a little kid anymore. Like, I got responsibilities. Maybe I need to hang up this whole music thing. Like, I've given it my shot. Or were you, have you just been determined this whole time?
I mean, I've definitely thought that just because you see all your friends around you, like, having kids, you know, they're, right. they're in their careers. But I've always been determined since I was 12 years old. I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And we just kept pushing. And, you know, you make ends meet with the jobs you get. You know, you because you can't get a 9-to-5 job and be like, hey, sorry, guys, I'm leaving for a month. You know, I'll be back. But, yeah, there's been plenty of times where we've all talked about it. But the best part about it is we're all on the same page. And we all were like, look, if we're going to put one foot forward, we got to bring the other one with it. And it's we just, you know, we're going to push for this. And what's come out of it already has been incredible.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So there's stories about this, and I think it still exists, the legendary Capstan House.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah, so you guys still, do you guys live there? Do you guys just, you have this place
we
as
did.
Your HQ? You did, okay.
Yeah, we had it where we all lived in the house. And what started out is we were starting to play shows. We were trying to book bands that came through. And I believe it was Worthwhile and In Her Own Words, I think, were the first two touring bands to play. But we were just like, hey, this venue's not going to work, so we can just bring it over to our place. And we just invited as many of our friends as we could to come over, and they just jammed in our living room. And from then on, it was like, hey, we can charge $5 at the door, have people come through, and we'll start putting on shows. And I mean,
cool.
Even aside from shows, like any band that was on tour, if we went to the show, we were like, hey, if you guys need a place to crash,
right.
we got showers, you know, laundry, place to sleep.
Right.
So
that probably contributed to your own band's, you know, success, at least
essentially,
with,
I mean,
you know, making some friends, some connections,
yeah.
and also, I mean, having a place you guys could put on your own show
right.
for, you know, the local community. I mean, I don't know what the local scene is like, you know, specifically in Orlando, Florida.
Right. It's not terrible, but it's not what, like, what I grew up in like, Downriver,
right,
Michigan
right.
was insane, so.
Yeah. Michigan was amazing
yeah,
back in those days.
It.
Some of those bands, I don't know if you remember, like For Dire Life's Sake.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Oh, geez, man, there was so, Addison Clio was a great band.
I forgot about them.
Rescue was a pretty cool band from there. And there's Fireworks.
Fireworks.
Which ended up getting actually pretty big for a while. Man,
Search
Before
the City
I
was
Go
another
was
one,
a band.
Too.
I could go on and on about these bands, and everyone's probably like, I don't know what he's talking about, but... but there was really a great community, and because I'm from Ontario, you know, there was a kinship we had there too.
Right,
you know,
right across the lake.
Right, and now I live in Windsor.
Right,
so I'm right across from Downriver.
Right there, yeah.
You know what
yep.
I mean? I'm like, what part of Downriver were you from specifically?
Southgate.
Southgate, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm probably like a 20-minute drive now.
There was the iconic venue
up.
Right around the block from my house, the Modern Exchange. It was like a huge
right.
DIY spot.
Absolutely. So. Very, very cool. So, you know, you guys signed to Fearless Records, which is a big deal. You know, I think, you know, signing to any label, especially like a big national label, is a big deal. But I think Fearless is one of the top labels, if not... the top label, you know, head and shoulders above everybody really at this point. How did that come about?
It kind of came out of left field, honestly. We were talking to a few, and it was, you know, taking some time, and they were coming out to the shows, and we'd have a phone
so
call.
So you'd made a demo, basically? Because your sound changed.
Yes, it
right?
did.
You went from being kind of a straight-up pop-punk band, for like lack of a better term.
Right.
To something a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more of a post-hardcore influence. Did you guys kind of feel like you found that stride and then you made a demo? Or what was the story there?
Well, we actually, we were writing Cultural Divide when Joe and Boz actually switched instruments. Because Boz was originally on guitar and Joe was playing bass, and they were both
better at
each other's instruments. So they switched, and the writing just got a lot different. So we started, we just decided, hey, we're going to go and professionally record this. And we took the money out of our own pockets, and we drove up to Crown Point and recorded with Seth. and put out Cultural Divide. And then we went back with, we actually talked with Michael Kaminsky, and he put us on Adventure Cat for In the Wake of Our Discord. So we had those two out, and as we were touring, you know, we started talking to some labels, and then out of nowhere, Fearless came through. Andrew Cram, too, had a lot to do with mm-hmm. it. He talked with a lot of people, but they came through, and as soon as we talked to Andy on the phone, we knew, like, it just clicked.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
You know, we and work things out from there.
So. Awesome. What was the conversation like between it? Was it like, we want to sign you, we want to put out your albums? Are you guys comfortable with being a full time touring band?
Were they
like not really sure where you guys were at?
No, they just kind of wanted to feel out what our intentions were, yeah. where we wanted to go with this, and we told them, you know, we're in this for the long haul.
Yeah.
We want to do this, and. Basically was just, you know, saying, okay, well, they're basically like an artist development rather than like a label feel, because they're smaller. But, I mean, he was just, the main thing was creative control. He said, you know, we respect what you guys are trying to do, so, you know, you go ahead and do that, and we'll develop you as artists from there, but you maintain creative control, so we can write how we want to write, and that was a major one for us.
No, absolutely, and I think most labels these days, that's
they are like that.
That's yeah. how it is, yeah. And it's always so funny to me when Silverstein, when we signed to Rise Records, and Rise Records had, you see, a reputation of like bands sounding a certain way,
right?
You know, like there was that YouTube video, how to get signed to Rise Records.
Oh yes,
that's you true. Know, like ridiculous. Another breakdown, you know, or whatever, however it goes. But but when, you know, we signed, everyone's like, oh, great, you know, Rise Records is going to change them and make them sound like exactly like the Devil Wears Prada
yeah.
or whatever. And it's like, people really believe that happens. Like,
yeah, I mean,
we literally went into the studio, made the record however we wanted, and we handed it to Rise Records and they put it out. There was
yeah.
no conversation,
right.
which I assume, I mean, happens. I mean, maybe with a band on their first record, maybe the label will just kind of try to help out with
right.
some ideas, or be like, oh, this is like, this song is like really cool, you know. But have you guys recorded anything yet?
We just did the one single that we put out right
yep.
before we left for the first leg of this. But as soon as this leg is over, we're going to be heading back to the studio to record the full
length. So you went into the studio and you just recorded one song?
Yeah, we just put out the single.
Isn't that a cool experience?
Yeah, it was great. It was
like
really
just,
great.
Just being able to focus completely on one thing.
One song, yeah. And it was in and out, and we recorded with Andrew Wade, and he brought out some
right,
of the best takes.
In Florida, yeah.
Some of the best takes without me even knowing it. So, you know, when I heard that some of them, I was just like, holy crap. I'm like, I didn't even realize I sounded that well. Like, you know.
Cool.
So.
Well, that's the mark of a great producer.
Yeah.
So when you go in for one song, and we've done it before too, how much time did you spend need?
I think we were there for, what was it, 4 days? I think 4 days. But, I mean, it was right in our backyard, so we could go home.
Yeah.
But we went in the first day, and we went through the song. And like the demo we had, and he was just kind of like, okay, I think we could change this here and mm-hmm. just get a feel for it. And then I think it took us 3 or 4 days to track all of it. So, and then that was it.
Very cool.
Yeah, in and out.
Yeah, that's awesome. So with this big signing, are you guys going to still run your own merch store?
Yeah, we're trying to.
Because I love the picture you posted just the other day. Well, I guess it was the other week, but... of just this, I don't even know where it was because you couldn't see the floor. Just of packages and packages, you guys
oh, yeah.
did like a closeout sale or whatever.
Yeah, we had a ton of old merch, and we were just like, you know what? It's all just sitting in a trailer at the Capstan Command, we call it. It's
yeah.
Harry's house,
okay,
Harry and Jen's place. But and we were like, we just got to get rid of this. So we ran the sale, and I actually packed every single order myself. And printed every single label and put
the other
every
guys didn't
single,
help you?
No, but at one point they were all like, yeah, we'll help. And then it was just like, you know what, guys, I got it from here. I already got a system. Like, don't even worry about it. So
do you write little notes for the fans? And
I used to, but because we only had such a short amount of time,
now.
I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I used to write it on the back of back of the package.
Yeah,
so I used to put the thing on, and on the back I'd just be like, and what was funny was nowadays I feel like people, even younger people, have like their own credit card, or they buy like a prepaid card or something.
Yeah,
because so much stuff is like e-commerce.
Yep.
But back when we started, it was usually people using like, you know, their mom's credit cards, right, or whatever to order like our merch. So it would be funny when I'd write on the back of a package like, thanks a lot, Gladys, you rock. Like, yeah, fully noticed, knowing like,
not,
there's no way that kid's name is Gladys. but I love that so much. And I think that's good, you know. I think you guys being older and being at an age where, and you've done it for quite a while. I mean, maybe Capstan's not that an older band, but with all your other projects,
right?
That you guys are able to be, you know, conscious of, okay, this is where we need to like be super professional, and like we need a booking agent, maybe, but do we really need like, you know, to hire a whole merch company full service?
Exactly.
When we've been doing it ourselves for so long.
I think the plan in the future, once we get rid of the rest of the old merch, is we'll start doing the pre-orders, and then right, we'll order to the amount of people that want it. We'll have it shipped to us, and then I'll pack and do the orders that way. So that way we're not just sitting on a bunch of merch, you know, that we don't sell. But I mean, I like doing
that's
it.
That's the smart way to do it. Yeah.
I like doing it myself too, so just adds that personal touch, and it's a little bit of work that I get to do other than just the performing and loading and all that. So,
no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's also, I don't know, there's like a sort of a cool thing that happens when you like just look down at the floor, all the orders you packed, and you're like, whoa, man, people like,
yeah,
people like me.
Something's going right.
It feels, yeah, it's a really, really good feeling. That's awesome, man. So I want to talk about your sound again.
Okay.
And and when you guys started, was it like, was there a conversation about how your band was going to sound? Like, we want to be a pop punk band, or was it like, we're just getting in a room to start a band?
It was, well, actually it started with Harry and I as a recording project, and he just had some music, so we just started putting it together, him and I.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I was just like, hey, you got lyrics, let me try some vocals, because I was playing the drums at that point.
Right.
And so I just hopped into the closet, and we recorded vocals, and he was like, hey, I know a drummer, we're gonna have him come in, you should just sing. And I was like, okay, we'll do that.
So you'd say you're not a lead singer?
No, I mean, now I would.
Now
you are. Yeah,
but
then it was.
But it's funny because every singer that I've had, I mean, what are you, in 162 or whatever?
Yeah.
I would say like 90% are other, you know, play other instruments first.
Yeah.
Found their way into this, like, kind of, you know,
just randomly.
The back way. Yeah.
But yeah,
exactly.
So what came out from that was we did like a one little EP that had, and we were like, yeah, we need to add some screams to this, because I just thought it was cool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that music. Post-hardcore has always been one of my favorite genres. And we started doing that, and then as soon as the switch happened with Joe and Boz, because Seasonal Depression was super pop punk with like a little,
yeah,
bit of aggressiveness to it. Joe and his background in metal, and Scott too, Scott's like a metal drummer at heart, they kind of put their twist on it, and it just happened, and it still remained catchy enough in our opinion to push it as a project in the post-hardcore realm.
Absolutely.
Like, we're just trying to do something new. We want to create like something a little new. We like to genre mash and
right,
try and keep it as cohesive as possible.
No, I think you're doing absolutely great job.
But yeah, man, it wasn't really discussed that, hey, we want to be this type of genre or anything like that. We just kind of, with our musical influences of what we listen to and past bands and things, I think it just kind of came together the way it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So this tour, I guess, we're on right now, it'd be cool to talk about. So, you know, you're kind of the young bucks.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're 29, but, you know, you guys are the brand new band, whereas As Cities Burn has been around maybe as long or longer than Silverstein, and Hawthorne Heights almost the same. How's that dynamic been for you guys, and especially with some of the fans? Some of the fans are younger, but some of the fans coming out being, you know,
little,
in their late 30s.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Has it been a good response?
Yes, it has, honestly. It's cool, too, because a lot of these people are seeing us for the first time. So we're just trying to make it a good impression, you know, and we've had a lot of people come up to us after the shows and say, hey, first time I've ever heard you guys rip, I love it, and we've made a lot of new fans, new friends, and even the bands, too, with the dynamic, like, there is a gap, you can feel it, but everybody's really cool, like, they're all awesome, we have good conversations, and...
But you guys haven't done that many full, you know, U.S. tours yet, have you?
No, we haven't. I think this
like, Warped Tour was one, obviously.
Right, we only did half.
You only did half. Okay,
Nashville to the end. We did our first one was 2016, I believe, and then we did Idola was the last tour we did was in February of last year. So that was our second. So this is our third full U.S. I believe. Yep, yeah. Third. So only our third, but this is a big one too. So
yeah, you know, you guys don't come off like that, and maybe it's your maturity, but you guys come off like very seasoned veterans to all this.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely, it is good. What's been your favorite moment so far of this tour? If you have a favorite show or
favorite show, Anaheim, California.
Yeah,
House of Blues. That was pretty incredible. That the Masquerade was pretty amazing too. But it's cool when the lights turn on and I just see myself standing for all of these people. You know, it's like, wow. Like, we're here. Here we are, guys. Like, we got to step up, you know?
I don't know. It's awesome. And I got to give you a big shout-out, too, for helping out with vocals.
I was going to say, that's a huge moment for me, man. I enjoy it every night.
It's sounding great. It's sounding, you know, better all the time, too. And, like, just coming out and fully screaming.
Yeah.
You know, you just came out the first day and you've been there like clockwork.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't missed a beat, which has been really cool.
It's an awesome experience for me, too, because, I mean, I grew up listening to you guys and that album specifically.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool thing for me. So I appreciate it and I have fun. I have fun with it. It's good.
That's awesome, man. I love that. Shit, dude, we're flying through this, man. I'm like running out of questions. I have a fan question.
Yeah.
This comes from Markham King. I noticed some of the songs seem to come off as anti-religious. What is the reason behind some of these lyrics, and can you go into detail about how those feelings came about?
Okay, well,
he's got a follow-up question, too. Maybe it ties in, so I'll ask it. And exactly what is Death of an Illusion about? Lyrically, I feel like it describes my life. I was on medicine for a short time and stopped because I felt like they weren't helping as much as me just being surrounded by friends and family. Very stoked for this podcast. Awesome. Thank you, Markham King.
Okay, well, I wouldn't say that we're anti-religious. We just kind of have our way of going about things as like, this is life, this is what it is, and you take it or leave it for that. It doesn't really, like, we're not saying, like, anti-religious. I mean, I grew up Catholic. I went to a Catholic school, like, half of us did in the band. It's just, when you get to a certain age, we start to realize and see things a little bit differently. Me, personally, just looking at like organized religion, it's, you know, for some people and it's for not. And that's pretty much it. We want people to make their own decisions, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, open their eyes. That's it. And I'm not saying that it's not real, it's not true, or if it is, you know, who am I to say? But a lot of our lyrics are just based upon opening your eyes, and society likes to push you in a direction, like, grow up, get married, have kids, get a job,
go out,
you know, and that's more about what we're trying to show, tell people is like,
you
don't
can be
have
29
to do that. Yes.
And get signed to Fearless Records for your first big band.
Yes, exactly.
It's never too late.
That's right. And Death of an Illusion was written, one of the members was on prescription medication for, you know, anxiety, depression.
Wow,
things,
so Markham, you know, King, so sounds like he nailed it.
Right, and it was just basically like, you know, I don't need this anymore, like, you know, ADD and stuff like that as well. And it was just like, these pills that I'm on are giving me, you know, they're making me feel like a zombie, and it wasn't a healthy road. And, you know, when we all met each other, it kind of helped pull him out of that.
Yeah.
So he did hit it right on the head.
That's great. So what's your approach to lyrics?
We are a collective lyric writing.
You all write?
Yes, we all write
together. Interesting.
Yep. Some more than others. To be honest, I am in a back seat for the writing, to be honest, a lot of it.
Wow. Yeah,
I don't write a lot of the lyrics. I like to write the melodies. So what we do is we basically find the meter and, you know, how it's going to be laid out. And I just go
so
in.
So find the meter, what do you mean by that exactly?
Just to make sure that, like, with the, like, metronome, that it fits.
Like the tempo?
Yeah, like where it's going to be at for the specific part.
So, like, kind of the rhythm of the vocals?
Yeah, rhythm of the vocals. And then we'll just start messing around and I'll just start going through different melodies. And, hey, I like this melody, but this should be a harmony and in the back. Like we really like to do that. So we demo as we write. So, like, we'll write some lyrics, and then we'll sit down, and we'll listen to the song that we have written musically, and we're just like, okay, I think these lyrics will fit in this part, and what do you guys think about what it's saying? And we all kind of collectively produce it.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
That's very rare, I think.
Yeah, we have an interesting way of writing our music, so.
Yeah, that's funny. All I can think of right now is, have you seen the Metallica movie?
I don't think so.
It's, well... You have to see it.
Okay.
Because it's the greatest thing, like, ever. And there's a part in it where basically, like, all of the weight has been resting on James Hetfield, like, the entire career. You know, he's always been the lyricist.
Right.
And he's, like, going through, like, I don't know if it's, rehab or whatever, but basically they're all trying to, like, lighten the load for him, this part. And there's this they write... I don't know. They're all sitting around with their, like, notebooks in different corners of the studio and writing, and it's just so, like, facepalm. Like, it's bad. It's probably one of the best parts of the movie too is when, you know, they're all there and they're sitting in silence, and Kirk Hammett goes, I got this line. My lifestyle determines my death style. And everyone's like, yeah, that's good. We're definitely going to use it. And then they cut to Hetfield going, my lifestyle determines my death style, my lifestyle. So for some reason, that's all I can picture when I think of this. But I'm sure it's a little bit more
we just
stimulating
write
than that.
Yeah, we'll all write, you know, lyrics on our own, you know, through your phone. And we all listen to the demos constantly, and we're just like, okay, I like these here. And then you bring it to the table, and someone's just like, I don't like those. And, you know, then you end up in a little quarrel, and then eventually we figure it out. But
Of course. And that's called Some Kind of Monster for people that need... You need to see this. Even if you don't like Metallica, it's just the best because the biggest band in the world has the same problems as the smallest band in the world.
And exactly.
It's too perfect, man. Yeah, dude. Geez, what else? Help me out. I'm like.
Have you been enjoying the tour?
I have been enjoying the tour. Thanks for asking, Anthony. Yes, it's been pretty good. I'm feeling a little raspy today. You know, I felt like the first leg we had a decent amount of days off and stuff.
Yeah.
But this one, like, right out of the gate, it's like five in a row, and
yeah, I lost my voice yesterday, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah, overnight. So I was sound check yesterday. I was up there, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I have no scream. I have no voice, and I just pushed through. I did the guest spot, and I was like, I don't know.
You sounded great yesterday.
Good. Yeah, and it was like
maybe the best you sounded.
It was crazy. Yeah,
and yesterday when I don't know if you. When you were walking away, like usually I just say like thanks, buddy, and kind of head off. I was like, don't leave me, because you sounded amazing yesterday. Yeah. So I don't know. I'll tell you though, man. Like people talk about their vocal concoctions and whether it's the berry tea or gummy bear tea or like people drink fucking bourbon or just water or honey and lemon, whatever.
Right.
I'll tell you, man. Adrenaline. That's a hell of a drink, you know?
It is insane. It's really crazy. I mean, there was a couple days where I wasn't feeling so well on the first leg, and you get up to the, you know, I get up to the stage, and as soon as we hear that the sample come on for the start of the set, it's just like this wave comes over you. And I'm out there, and it just, like, it will literally pull you through if you feel like it's the worst. Adrenaline is, like, insane.
I know. It's like a robot turning on sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't even know where it's coming from.
Yeah, and then I'm like, I finished the set. I'm like, oh, my God, did I even sing the right lyrics? Like, did I just black out up there? What happened?
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like it's over like that.
So. Yeah, no, that's so true. And
yeah,
it's crazy how you'll before the set you'll be talking to your bandmates being like, yeah, man, I hope this goes okay. Then you sing perfectly.
Yeah.
And you walk off the stage and you're like, oh, it was pretty good, actually. Yeah. You're like, what?
That was
what
yesterday.
Happened?
Yesterday,
yeah,
for me.
That's one of the weirdest things. But no, but the tour's been really, really very good for us. And I feel like all the bands have been enjoying it. Which is lovely.
It's been great. And it's been an awesome time for us.
And the second leg, we were happy. Not only were we able to add a second leg, which is pretty rare, but even rarer is that all the bands were like, yeah,
same,
let's go.
Same bands as the first.
I think everybody was planning on taking January off because January is nice to have off because it's really
cold.
Bad to be on the road. Yeah. Yeah, we're about to take you to Western Canada.
I'm ready.
So sorry.
Hey, I'm ready.
You're ready. The other Floridians in your band might not be.
That's right.
One of your dudes was like freaking out when you guys were figuring out how to get from Quebec to Maine.
Oh, yeah, that's
which
Boz.
Which road to take.
Boz, yeah.
And no, it wasn't Boz.
Oh,
it was no, I don't remember who it was.
He's usually worried about the weather the most.
Oh, okay.
Because
I was talking to Boz in the other room, which is why I know it wasn't Boz.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, somebody in your camp was like, the elevation is this, and if we take this road, and
oh yeah,
I'm like,
down to
you guys
it.
Are considering elevation for which road to take. This is, you guys are next level.
Yeah.
But it is going to be a shit drive and drives and some bad weather, and we're sorry.
We were just wondering if we need to get chains. For the tires.
I mean, we never got chains on our van, but we were also like really, really dumb and like complete idiots. And I mean, our first van, I know you said your old van was really shitty. Our first van, well, it was like purple, first of all. Nothing wrong with purple van.
No, nothing wrong with
but,
that.
But not only did the air conditioning not work, but the heat was permanently stuck on.
Oh, God.
And there was this, because it was older. It was a 96, which actually at the time, because we were touring in like 2003, it wasn't that old.
Right.
But it was shitty.
Yeah,
somehow.
Exactly.
It was like really high mileage, and it had been, you know, rode hard and put away wet, that thing. And there was a block heater. That was how it worked.
Oh, wow.
In the back. They didn't blow out of...
Right, it just got warm
just,
from that
was
one
just
source.
A, yes.
Yeah.
And it would get so hot, even in the middle of the summer, because it was stuck on.
Oh, my God.
That our merch guy at the time literally made a grilled cheese sandwich on top of it. That's how hot it got.
That's crazy.
Like, if you were just, like, sitting...
You touch it,
you know,
or something?
Yeah, like, if you accidentally, like, move, and then your, like, leg touched it, you'd be like, oh, fuck! It'd, like, literally burn you. So it was... so our van was bad. So yeah, but I don't know, chains, it can't be a bad idea. I don't think.
I mean, I don't know, we probably won't end up getting them, to be honest, but we're ready. I'm ready for it. I'll see what it's like.
Have
it's
you been out there before?
No,
it's your first time.
Yep.
I really hope we get, they have these like winds that come through. I think they call them Chinooks.
Okay.
My Western Canadian listeners will know if that's correct or not. And it's just like these super warm ass winds that come through, and then it's like beautiful.
Yeah.
For like a week.
That's
cool.
And
then all of a sudden it's minus 40.
Oh, wow.
So it depends kind of which week you're there.
Where you're at. I mean, we just escaped Quebec City. They were talking about like negative numbers for a while. Like we hit it like 30. It was like 30 there, and then there were like a couple days. It's going to drop.
So. Right. Well, you got to remember too that they could be. They're probably talking in Celsius.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So when someone's like, I'll do it all the time. I'll be like, oh yeah, it was like minus 10. Be like, holy shit,
it's so
minus 10.
Like,
well,
yeah, no.
Celsius.
Yeah.
It's still cold. It's like probably like 20. But you know, it's weird. The scales are fucked, and then minus 40 Fahrenheit and minus 40 Celsius are the same. Go figure.
That's. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's really confusing.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, so, but it's going to get down, to minus 40, probably minus 30, you know.
You just don't go
outside. We're probably going to see it.
Just
Winnipeg
don't go outside.
Or Edmonton are pretty bad. Yeah, man, you just spit and it bounces.
That's crazy. Hey, that's something cool to see, though.
Yeah, man, whatever you enjoy. Well, dude, geez, we're flying through this shit, man. What else you got to say to the people? What's 2019 going to bring for you guys?
2019?
Can you talk about it yet?
We're hoping to do some more touring the rest of the year. We're probably doing something in the summer and continue on through the fall, and when we get back from this leg, we're going to record our full length. So hopefully that'll be out sometime around the later this year.
Have you written it yet?
Yes, yes.
It's done.
It's not complete. We have a lot of lyric placement we still need to do, but all the music is pretty much finished.
Yeah.
So, and we have a good chunk of the songs that, you know, we just have some parts that we still need to place in, but...
Well, that's cool the way you write, because I guess you don't feel as much stress and pressure as a singer that, like, the music's done and now, okay, Anthony, what do you got for us?
Exactly.
Everybody's
we try to make it
equally
collective.
Holding that weight. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we like that. And we all kind of know our place in the band and what we do, not only writing, not only instruments, but, you know, social media, you know, fixing the van, like we got mechanics. Like we all have our own place and we know where it's at and we kind of come together as like one like piece. All the other guys like to say like Megazord, like Power Rangers.
Right,
we're like
one
big Megazord now, so... but yeah,
that's very cool.
So it is.
So nice. Do you have any idea when the record is going to come out?
I'm assuming late this year. So probably I would say the fall. I would just assume. I don't really know exactly, but we're going to be recording about a month after we get back. So.
And are you planning on hitting the road before the record comes out? Are you guys going to chill for a bit?
Yeah, we'd like to. Yeah, we don't have anything set in stone just yet, but we're looking to tour.
And have you guys done anything international yet?
Not yet, just Canada.
So are you looking forward to that? That could be really cool.
That would be
overseas,
awesome. Yeah, we'd
Australia,
love to.
Australia, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yep, we're waiting.
Man.
We're ready.
Well, it's very, very cool to speak with you, and thanks for taking the time.
Dude, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man.
Yeah, but
thanks.
Appreciate
it. And, I guess we'll play the new single for the people.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Introduce it. Tell them what it's called. Let's rip
it. This is the new single that we put out on Fearless Records, and it's called Stars Before the Sun.
Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time.
This condition persists. I feel the weight of the top from the top of my skull. From the back of my spine. It never ceases to remind. I'm in dire need of being regulated. The lack of hope resonates. I feel trapped by the pressure. My voice paralyzes uncertain future.
So there is new music from Capstan, and I am very proud of those boys for signing to a great label in Fearless Records, and the world is their oyster, I must say. They expect some very, very big things from this band because they are the real deal, talented, great songs, and just some of the best people and nicest guys you'll ever meet. So when they come around in 2019, make sure you check them out, and I know they're not going to stop. They've got so much to give. So it really, really is an amazing thing. I want to thank all my sinners worldwide for being a part of this thing, and I want to thank you for just checking out this episode, whether it's this one, whether it's been a handful, whether it's been all 161, 62, whatever we're at, episodes. Your support is really, really amazing. If you like the show, please feel free to go on iTunes, write a review, preferably 5 stars. Hit me up, send me an email, follow me on social media. If you're not so happy, we have the hate line option. Please give me a call on there. The number is in the intro. And other than that, I just hope that, you know, whatever you're doing in 2019 is productive. You're making waves. You're doing what you want to do. You're getting out of those negative situations and into positive ones. Because that's, I think, my friends, what we all need to be doing. My name is Shane. Thank you so much for being here, for listening. And I will definitely see you next week with a great episode. I'm feeling terrific. The sickness is gone. A little bit of a lingering cough. Nothing I can't handle. And I'm very excited for having literally 3 months off after this tour where I'm going to go in full podcast mode. And I'm going to be delivering all kinds of bonus content on the All Access Club. And of course, some amazing episodes. So make sure you're subscribed. Hit that subscribe button. And I will see you next week. Peace and love. And all the best.